Samson was self-centered. You can't say that he was a spiritual man. He has no inclination to deliver Israel. That's not really on his mind. No spiritual motivation. So God uses his carnality. Isn't it interesting that God can use a person's carnality to accomplish his will? So I have to look at the world, I have to look at our woke culture and go, well, God's still in charge. I'd like to see things different. And yet he's using these things. You see, God can use bad motives and bad people to bring about his good purposes. And that's what we're seeing here.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well, as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 15.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we
Let's turn in our Bibles to Judges chapter 15 as we continue on with Samson. I mean, we could have gone from chapter 14, 15, and 16 and talk about Samson, you know, really in one study and just kind of paraphrased, in a sense, his life. Because he's really an enigma. And sometimes people in the Bible, some of these people that God uses, Balaam was a real enigma. A prophet of God, and yet he came to curse Israel, and instead of cursing them, he blesses them. And so we find a lot of enigmas or paradoxes of people that God uses. And so I've always, and we've actually titled these chapters, Samson, God's Flawed Leader. Because I think it's good to note that we're all flawed. We're all flawed in one way or another. I mean, we don't try to be flawed, we just are. Sometimes it's natural, you know, we just do it. Maybe we don't want to do it. But when we're born again, God puts a check on that. We can't live the old life because he checks us by the Holy Spirit. He convicts us. And so we don't go on living that way. And so Samson, as I mentioned, he's a good illustration, not so much to follow him, not to follow him in his life, but to see the greatness of God, how God even uses individuals like him to accomplish God's purposes. So really the question, it arises, how can God use a man like Samson? I mean, how can that be? A man who obviously desires to be with pagan women, with prostitutes, more than taking serious the call of God upon his life as a Nazirite, set apart for God to be used. I mean, there's where the enigma is. You think of your call of God to be the key guy to deliver Israel or to be the key guy in the church, to pastor the church, you live a life that's, you know, representative of that. But you see, he doesn't give evidence that he really cares for the cries of his own people to be delivered from their oppressor, the Philistines. It doesn't seem like that moves him much. It seems he cares more about himself than being a servant of the Lord. I mean, if you find that he wants to be a servant of the Lord, maybe in the last, when he dies, he brings down the pillars of the temple of Dagon. There's where the most spiritual part of him comes out. But you see, along the way, he marries a Philistine woman against his parents' wishes and their warnings. Can't you marry an Israelite? You know, why do you have to go to the pagan women? And yet, we discover something very interesting, very interesting. In chapter 14, verse 4, it says, it is of the Lord that he married her. It is of the Lord to defeat the Philistines. To me, that is a great encouragement, because then I realize that God does work all things together for good and for His glory, even for those that maybe don't love Him like they should, or they don't meet up to the calling that God wants them to meet up to. Really interesting. You see, even Samson's lust, God uses to accomplish deliverance of Israel from the Philistines. I think of Jesus. Here, evil men delivered up Jesus, and yet it was by God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. You see, the Jews and the Romans, the Jews and the Gentiles always try to blame. Who's responsible for delivering up Jesus? Well, God is. Evil men. God even used that. He used that for his purposes, to accomplish His divine purposes, salvation. The Bible tells us in Psalm 76:10, "For the wrath of man shall praise thee, with a remnant of wrath thou shalt gird thyself." Even with bad things, God uses those for His purposes. I don't know how He does it. Usually when I make mistakes, it's really a mistake. I have to do over and make it right. You know, but for God, somehow He uses that in His divine puzzle, in His pattern, and that tapestry that He makes for good. And you go, wow, that was so dark, but wow, it looks really good on, you know, it shades that. Really, God, you really know what you're doing. You see, it was the Lord's doing. The Lord's doing in coming to Manoah and his wife, announcing the child's birth. Well, it came to the wife. The wife came to Manoah, and that he's going to be a Nazirite. And so they dedicated him. And even the wife, you know, she watched her step. You know, she didn't drink wine because she knew that's what God said that the Nazirite's not supposed to do. But we know as Samson grew, he always flirted. He always flirted with that temptation. He was always close to what he shouldn't be doing. And yet, we find that even though God came to them, to the wife and to Manoah, and said what they should do, and they were committed to it, Samson was not totally committed, but he was willful. He was self-centered. And he really wasn't a spiritual man. You can't say that he was a spiritual man, because much of what he does for his own glory, and we'll see that tonight. He has no inclination to deliver Israel. That's not really on his mind. No spiritual motivation. So God uses his carnality. Isn't that interesting that God can use a person's carnality to accomplish his will? Used his selfish self, his sense of being wronged, inciting his anger and his revenge, that Samson, to bring about the deliverance of Israel. The anger of man doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. Yet it did here. God used it. He wasn't a real spiritual guy. So I have to look at the world. I have to look at our woke culture and some of the things that are going on. And I go, well, God's still in charge. I'd like to see things different. I'd like to see, you know, society in an idealistic state, but it sure isn't going to be until Christ comes back. And yet he's using these things. You see, God can use bad motives and bad people to bring about his good purposes. And that's what we're seeing here. So remember, chapter 14, Samson feels betrayed. He feels betrayed by his wife because she told those 30 companions what the riddle was. Remember, he told a riddle and they said, okay, yeah, if we can guess the riddle, you're going to give us 30 changes of clothes, and if we can't, we'll give you 30 changes. And so they pressed the wife, and finally, the last day, they said, if you don't tell us, we're going to burn you and your father's house down. So she told him. And so he realized, you know, you wouldn't have guessed my riddle unless you plowed with my heifer. In other words, you know, you got the answer from my wife. And so Samson goes. He goes and he kills. So here God's using his anger because God was against the Philistines. They were oppressing his people. He goes and he kills 30 Philistines, gets their garments, brings them back, gives them to the guys, the companions, the 30 companions, and then he leaves. He leaves in anger. He doesn't consummate the marriage. They don't actually have the physical relationship. They're married. They had the seven-day feast, and then you go into the tent and you consummate it, but he didn't, and he left. He was angry. And so here we come to chapter 15. And so how would you as the wife take that? How would you as the father take that? How would you as the 30 companions take that? Or would you want to use that against Samson? Good question. Well, let's see what happens here. Verse 1, we'll go all the way down to verse 8, give you the feel of the story here. But after a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it came about that Samson visited his wife with a young goat and said, I will go into my wife, into her room. No, in to consummate it. And so here he brings a peace offering, you might say. He wants to make up. But her father did not let him enter. And her father said, I really thought you hated her intensely, so I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Look at this young one. She's fairer. She's beautiful. Why don't you take her? Well, Samson's not going to do that. That's not a trade-off. You've just insulted this man, this Israelite. Please let her be yours instead. Verse 3, Samson then said to them, this time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail and put one torch in the middle between two tails. Verse 5, when he had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both the stalks and the shocks, that's the standing wheat, and the ones that are growing, but they're ready for harvest, and the standing grain, along with the vineyards and the groves. Then the Philistines said, who did this? And they said, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite. He really wasn't the son-in-law. I mean, the father gave her away to someone else. Because he took his wife and gave her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. And Samson said to them, since you act this way, I will surely take revenge on you. But after that, I will quit. And he struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter. And he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock of Etam. So Samson calms down. I mean, he had a right to be angry at this. He calms down. He comes back to take his wife, and he finds that she's been given away. She's been given away in marriage, basically to the best man, the companion, the best man that they put there as the best man. And so he was justified in his anger. I mean, that was just right that he was angry. But here the father thinks the worst of him. And maybe the wife thinks the worst of him as well. You see, the culture that you live in, if you grow up in that culture, you're going to think like that culture. Now, what did those men want to do, those 30 companions want to do? They said, if you don't tell us what that riddle is, we're going to burn you and your father's house down. It was a violent culture. It was an angry culture. And so those people willing to burn down her house, you didn't get the answer? Really? Is that what you're going to do? Well, probably thought that, hey, well, maybe Samson's the same way. You know, maybe he's angry. He's not going to come back. And, you know, he's that way. So what are they going to do? They're going to pacify Samson with a younger version of the woman he was going to marry, the younger sister. Now, maybe she would have been better for Samson. We don't know. But you see, at this point, Samson's ego is at stake. He's a man. He's kind of a self-centered kind of individual. But you have to realize what he's thinking and what he's going through. First of all, he was betrayed by his wife in giving that riddle to those 30. He was bettered by those 30. Here's what your riddle is. What's sweeter than honey and what's stronger than a lion? Yeah, you got that from my wife. So bettered by those 30 and also blindsided by the father. And so you can expect Samson to be angry and come. You don't exactly know what's going on here, but possibly, and here's some speculation, we don't know, but possibly the father and the 30 companions that were there, they're Philistines. And Israel is under their power and their yoke, their oppression. And so possibly they thought, you know what, let's get at Samson. He's kind of a big baby. He goes, he runs away. Let's get at him. Let's spite him. Let's spite him and just marry her off to one of the companions. I mean, they were kind of flirting with each other anyway, weren't they? Now, again, that's just speculation. But how can you just all of a sudden marry, right, like that? There could have been something going on. We don't know. At least in our culture, that's what happens. So maybe it was to spite him and just to show who's in charge. We're Philistines. You're just Israelites. We're in charge. And so now he comes back, and that's the worst kind of humiliation, you know, to give away your bride. It was your bride. You were married to her. Didn't consummate that, but now gave her away. Very humiliating. So he's seeking revenge at this point. So what does he do? Well, there's fields of standing grain and there's shocks of grain, and the ones that are standing haven't been harvested yet. The other ones are like, you know, put in, different locations and, you know, they're stacked up there. And so he takes, it says foxes, but the Hebrew term is jackals. A jackal is a wolf and a fox. Wolf and a fox mating, and then you get a jackal. He catches 300 of them, really an amazing thing, and he ties them together, so he's got 150 that are the tails tied together with sticks of fire in between, and he turns them loose, fire. And these, you know, these little guys with fire in the back, they're just terrified. They go into these fields here for maybe for shelter, and the fire breaks out, consuming the fields. These are Philistine fields. Likely he did it at night, you know, so there's a blaze. Here's a retaliation, and it was, as it says, it was in time of harvest. So in time of harvest, that's when the fire is really going to kick off, and so it was. It did. But here, it's interesting what these bad choices of this family does. The wife, the father, bad choices. Her betrayal came back on her and her family. You see, she betrayed him, giving, you know, because they said they're going to retaliate and burn her house, and so told the riddle, and now because Samson retaliates, you know, they're destroying her and her father anyway. You see, giving into evil, it never profits, it only delays the consequences. Whenever you give into even a little bit of wickedness and evil, oh, you might delay it for a while, but it's amazing how that comes back ultimately and eventually, whether it haunts you or whether the consequences come upon you. Really, that's what happened with her and her father and their house. You see, Samson took revenge. He really brought havoc. Havoc, and then he went to Etam to see if it had any effect. See, that's what he's doing. Did it have an effect? Did it bring any kind of restraint on them? Are they still going to be like they are? You know, but, you pound a fool in a pestle with a mortar, you know, and they still remain a fool. Well, these Philistines are foolish. Verse 9, we'll go to verse 11. Then the Philistines went up and camped in Judah and spread out in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" And they said, "We have come up to bind Samson in order to do to him as he did to us." Then 300 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? What then is this that you have done to us?" This is really an amazing thing when you're under bondage and you're, maybe you could use this as sin, when you're under sin and there's a potential to be released from that, but you don't want to be released from that. In fact, you accuse those who are trying to bring you out of that as doing damage to you or doing dirt on you. You see, they're accusing Samson of something that he's simply bringing relief. He's taking away that oppression. You see, the men of Israel at this point, and this is sad because this can happen to Christians, because I really feel like this woke culture has swallowed up much of the Christian church, much of the Christian church, because the men of Israel, they no longer have a will to be free from bondage. Isn't that interesting? Just to give in to the culture, to give in to your bondage, to give in to your sin, to give in to the culture so that you can get along with one another. There is what they call the Stockholm syndrome, where maybe a kidnapped victim and they're with the kidnapper for so long, they begin to have a psychological bond with that person. And you see, when you're under the oppression like they were, Israel was, there's that psychological bond with their oppressors. And Samson, why are you doing this to us? Don't do this to us. That's a sad situation when a person has that to sin. Sin can do the same thing to a person. They can become so dispirited, destroying the will to fight on. And it reduces them to a coward that is not living for the Lord, but just like the Old Testament prophets, just going along with the people and saying what they want to hear them say. And so they're blaming Samson instead of the real enemy. They're ungrateful to Samson. Samson is an inconvenience to them at this point. They want to get back to the status quo. Let us get back to just what we were doing, and we know that the Philistines are ruling over us. Samson, why are you causing trouble? Why are you doing this? It's pretty amazing when you counsel people that are into really some bad stuff and you're trying to lead them out of it using scripture, and then they get angry at you. They get angry at you because they're just captivated by that. They've been dispirited. They're reduced to cowards. They're not fighting the fight of faith. And so here they're blaming Samson instead of the real enemy, ungrateful to him, just wanting to keep the status quo.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of repeat offenders, Judges chapter 15. You can hear this message again by visiting calvarychapelhonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at calvarychapelhonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the Book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, chapter 15. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.